This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us as we celebrate our return to traditional, face-to-face worship services with a fellowship hour following. We are excited to announce the return of our traditional worship service and hope that you will join us. Of course, the service will continue to be broadcast on Zoom as we worship safely with any precautions that you may observe. You are also invited to join us at 10 a.m. prior to our service for a time of praise music and inspirational videos. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or like us on Facebook. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, May 16th, 2021.
Like to welcome you to worship this morning, and it is good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, creator and source of all life, we worship and praise you. Out of chaos and darkness, you spoke words which brought order and light and life. You took on human flesh in Jesus Christ. In him we gained understanding of your power and glory, for he revealed through his life that true power is based upon empowering others and is made visible through loving and serving others. We marvel at the depth of your care for us and the many ways our lives have been blessed by the sacrificial life and love of Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
And find ourselves in the presence of a holy God, filled with mercy and grace. Let us pray. The words of the hymn remind us that in humility we come before you and that we surrender it all. The good and the bad. We surrender it all to you that you may strengthen us, that you may work in us, and through us. For Father, we cannot receive anything new until we have let go of that which we treasure sometimes. That of this world that has become a light in our eye, a goal. Father, may we find if it would measure up to you, that it would be your will, that it would meet your purpose, your plan. Father, may you lead us and guide us, and may we follow. Father, forgive us for sometimes getting ahead of you. Forgive us for often thinking we know better. Father, help us to live in humility and by grace, to realize our limits, and you are limitless. Remind us of our mortality and your eternalness. Remind us that our vision and time is short, but yours is from the beginning and knows no end. It is before you, the God of the universe, that through Christ we come. And we kneel before you out of honor and respect, but not out of fear. And Father, we should come boldly before you, for you have said through your Son that if we come and ask, you will hear and answer. Forgive us our sins. Give us strength to forgive others. Let us serve you. To serve you is to tell people about your Son, to share with them the good news of your love and your grace, of your healing and your anointing, of your strengthening and presence. To know you is to know life, and to live it with you is to have a life of purpose beyond the moment. Father, hear our prayers for those needs we've lifted aloud, for those silently there upon our hearts. Father, help us in the burdens we carry and in the times we face. Father, we pray for our nation and nations around the world. Missiles, bombs, violence, death, destruction, oppression, hatred, anger, animosities, deceit, lies, untruths, self-serving, agenda setting. All of these things seem to permeate the very air we breathe and into the world in which we live. Father, help us to breathe fresh life from you and hope from you. And may there be receptive hearts to hear about your love and grace. Let us proclaim you by word and deed. May they see the church of Christ, as a beacon of hope and opportunity. May they see in us a light that they can't explain away. May they see in us you at work doing that which only you can do. May we hear the words of Charles Wesley that our Jesus be so alluring they can't turn away. And may we, in our brokenness, be a witness to your strength. And Father, we pray for the leaders in our communities. School is coming to a close, summer school for some. Families, vacations, and all of the things that will go on. Father, may we go with you even in these times. Father, we pray truly that our leaders humble themselves before you and seek to do your will in love and integrity. We pray for those who serve our country in our military, law enforcement, first responders, whoever serves and helps others, denying themselves to touch others' lives. Father, we lift them up. We pray for those who are in hospitals, nursing homes, shut-ins in their own homes. We pray for them, but we pray for those who care for them as well. And Father, we ask now that you hear us as we pray together, as you taught us, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our reading today is from John 17, verses 6 through 23. I have revealed to you those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those who you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be the ones as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture could be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, for they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also in us be, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is, if you will, part three of a series that I've been doing in this section of John that has talked about three things, and third one this morning. The first one was our relationship with God. And that relationship with God is based in the promise of God, in the Word of God, which we find on the little drawing of the vine and branches. Jesus is the vine, and we have our relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. He came, He lived, He died, and was resurrected, that we may believe that He is the Son of God, and in that belief receive salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. But it doesn't stop there. That's the fire insurance policy, if you will. But we are part then of the vine, and we become the branches through which the rest of the world would hear about Jesus Christ. Our relationship then starts with our other believers, those around us, closest to us, engrafted the other branches. And that's who we are. But out of those branches, the next thing is, what do we have to do with the world? What do we have to do with the world? That's where we are today. We have our relationship with God in Christ. We have our relationship with each other, which is in Christ Jesus itself. That's common ground. That's the common thing, the common thread. We're all different. I was noticing that you all really do look different. You know, I've met some of your siblings, And maybe only a blind jury would help you not claim them as yours. But even then, you're different in a lot of different ways. And in that diversity, the thing that brings us together is Christ. That is our common ground. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto the Father. And now we arrive at this part, and I hope you heard some things as she was reading that scripture. Over and over again, this idea of one. This idea of one. They are one. We are one. They're one. One, one. It is this common ground. Christians, disciples, are one. We are one because of Christ. We're one because of the promise. We're one because we've accepted. Christians become disciples. Remember the Great Commission, that we're to go and to make disciples, not pew warmers, not sideliners, but disciples, teaching them to obey all the things that I have commanded you. All of those things make us who we are. We, while we are in the world, we are not of it. What's our relationship with the world? Number one, this New Testament that you have, every single jot and tittle, every word, every T, every I, every vowel, and every consonant is written to believers. It is written to those who are in a relationship with God and in a community and covenant relationship with others. This New Testament is not written to a lost world. Paul says it best. To them, it's foolishness. But to those of us who are saved, it is life itself. So when you read this, the things taught in it are about us. Believers, disciples. We got that one? Big and important. Because I'm going to show you something. I think I told Kent this morning, this might make some folks uncomfortable. How many of you have read the job description of a pastor? Hatch 'em, match 'em, dispatch 'em. No. My job as a pastor is, of course, to be faithful to God in the teaching and proclaiming and the sacrament and all the, but really it boils down that I am to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. For complacency is the enemy of the believer. Do you hear me? Complacency. Taking it for granted. Taking the easy ride. We've done that for too long, church. Christianity has forgotten that we're to be different, peculiar, set apart. Let's look at it. Go with me now. To verse 9, you can read the other stuff. I've made your name known and all those things. But go with me to verse 9. If you don't have a Bible, get one out, because I didn't tell Tom to put this up there. Go ahead and get one. There's one in the pew. It's easy. It's not hard to find. Get one out. You need this. You need to see this. You need to go with me. I'm giving you time. John 17, verse 9. Does anybody need one? Need a Bible? I see some of you aren't going for one. Got an aversion to the word. They're everywhere. Sometimes you just need to look at it yourself too. And you've got the same version that I've got, so everybody's on the same page. So now verse 9. I am asking on their behalf. God, Jesus is praying for his disciples. He's praying for those 11. Later on it'll be Paul, but he's praying for those 11. Judas is, he's not praying for him. He says that. I am not asking on behalf of the world. Do you notice something? Jesus isn't praying for the world. There's a difference. There's a separation. There's a difference between a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and the world. We're a peculiar people, set apart, called out. The Greek here is the image of being lifted out of a mud hole, literally. To be separated, to be cleansed, to be taken away from it, and to be set aside. How many of you clean something and put it back in filth? Huh? I mean, what's the use? I mean, yeah, you may use it and get it dirty again, but I really hate to wash my truck and it rain right afterwards. And if I want it to rain, I wash my truck. And that's just the way it is. That I haven't. Because every time I go out there to wash it, Alma, we get rain. Cloud threatens. I was going to wash it yesterday. Of course, I did throw away 3 garden hoses yesterday that were didn't survive winter again. But they've been good. They've been good. So maybe I should wash it once a week anyway. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you have given me, because they are yours, separate. Do you see it happening? They are yours. I'm praying for them. They are yours. They're separate. All mine are yours and yours are mine. Look at this. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I'm coming to you. Do you see a separation going on? Do you see a calling apart? Do you see things going on? John 17, I'm in verse 10 now. Verse 11 now. I see some confusion about where I am. Verse 11 of chapter 17. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. Got that again? One, joined together, brought together, separate. You can't be one if you aren't separated from the many, right? So then you become one, and then you become many. Yeah, it's the economy of it. I protected them in your name that you gave me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost. And here the correct should be except for the son of perdition. If your books got that or not got that, it should be here the son of perdition, the one who through fooled the scripture might be fulfilled. That's what that means. But now I am coming to you and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. Underline this one. I have given them your word and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. Do you see that? In other places, Jesus will say not to be unequally yoked together, a believer and an unbeliever. What does light have to do with darkness? You see, there's a line drawn. There is a difference made. There's a difference made. I do not belong to the world. Verse 15, I am not asking you to take them out of the world. I sometimes wished he had. But I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth, which is your word. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. And here's what every one of you need to see, you need to hear, and you need to remember. You need to write this down. This is important. To be honest with you, this is one of the most sweet places in all of Scripture. I ask not only be on the behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Jesus just prayed for us. For we are reading the words of the disciples. And Jesus prays for us. One. One then, one now, and one into the future. Jump down to verse 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, and they may become completely one, so that the world may know. Here's what you got to get this one. I'm coming back to it and preach on it in a minute. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You got that? Let's talk about it. One, what's our relationship with the world? Our only relationship, church, with the world is to bring them to Jesus Christ. When he gave us the Great Commission, he said, go and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the things I have taught you. We should be as separate as oil and water. We may be together, but we shouldn't be together. We should not look like the world. We should not bring the world into the church. The church should be that body of Christ that is united in one, in morality, integrity, and in honesty. We should be a church that follows the Word of God, that follows through grace. I got news for you. Every one of us sin. If you haven't figured that out yet, every one of us makes mistakes. Anybody without one? Anybody got? How many of us are doing it right? But it's okay, isn't it? Because here's the deal. Tom had this, and folks, you need to get here early. So sliding in after we done got started, get here early. I know I shouldn't have said that, but I want you to. We had this great meditation on here this morning about broken pots. How many saw it? It was good. And then the gist of it was, this person had tried all they could to put this vessel back together, and it wasn't working. And all anybody could see of that vessel was all the broken parts, how it was not the same. How many of us are not broken in some way? I am. How many of us fall short? How many of us wonder who we are, where we're going, what God's calling us to be? But the wonderful thing was is this person learned something. He couldn't fix the pot, no matter how hard he tried. But what he did was he put a light, a candle in the pot, and he lit the candle. And no longer did people see just the broken pot, but they were drawn to the light within the broken pot. You see, it's not about you at all. It's about him that's in you. For he is in us and we are in him. Despite our brokenness, the world needs to see that we are loving each other despite our differences. That we can love others despite our differences. What are we to have to do with the world? We should look like the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. But instead, the church is fractured. We've broken it up with denominational names. We've broken it up by modes of baptism. We've broken it up by how you take communion. Do you do wine? Do you do grape juice? Or do you have a little of both? And we've broken it up. We've broken it up over such petty things as whether a woman should cut her hair or not, wear a dress or not. We've chopped it up, and we've argued about this stuff to the point that the world looks in and says, my God, they just like the country club down there that I belong to. Somebody didn't pay their dues, and we got to throw them out. We got all that stuff going on. They're down there fighting about this, fighting about that. They can't get along. Why do I want to go over there when it looks like what I got over here? The church needs to be separate. It needs to be different. It needs to be a light into a darkened world. It needs to be an oasis in the wasteland of sin and filth in the world. The church needs to be that place that lives up to the word sanctuary, a place where the broken can come and find rest. For Jesus says, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It needs to be a place where people come, and it's different from the world they live in every day. Folks, if they don't see anything different here, what would want them, or what would cause them to want to come? You see, that's the problem. The church has become a mirror of the world. And instead of the church bringing Christ for the redemption of the world, we've brought the world into the church. And we've decided that if the world and the popular culture says it's okay, then let us embrace it. Instead of living to what He's called us, and that is a higher standard that's humanly impossible for every one of us, but with God all things are possible. That through our brokenness, they would see God at work, doing what only God can do. You see, it's God that brings us together despite our differences. It is God that heals us despite our brokenness. It is God who continues in His mercy and grace to use us despite our faults and failures, our shortcomings. And I have to tell you, I'm a little stubborn. Just a little. Just a little. No lightning, so we're okay. But this is the deal. What witness are we putting out? It was funny in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about it. The church has been fighting within its ranks for so long. It has forgotten there's a lost and dying world out there. It has slept at the wheel and got pushed into oblivion. Pushed out of mainstream, pushed out of schools, pushed out of businesses, pushed out of everywhere while we were arguing and fussing and fighting and trying to win them over by being like them. We've almost lost our teeth. And friends, Jesus has become a fairy book tale that most people have never heard. They don't know of Him. They won't know of Him if we don't tell them. There's no opportunity in school to learn it. There's no opportunity in the workplace to experience it. We've got a long road ahead of us as a church and as Christians. But all things with God are possible. I watch the news. I read the articles, and I see a world that's ripe for the message of grace, redemption, salvation, forgiveness, and healing. And I know our Redeemer lives. Amen. Let us pray. Father, let us be one in You. Let us be one, but let us be separated from the world that they would see You at work in our lives. Father, let us speak truth in grace and love, that sin is still sin and it is destructive and destroying societies and worlds. Hatred and anger, jealousy and animosity, agendas, Father, are filling the air instead of humility and service and sanctification. Father, help us, the church, to look up to You, to repent of our sins, to come holy before You, to become a light of hope, a place of sanctuary. Help us to become in the world, but not of the world. Let us become a light that shines into the darkness that the darkness cannot overcome. Let our witness, Father, be bold for You in a call to repent and accept, to be healed and forgiven. Father, give us the strength and the courage to serve You, to witness for You. Help us to go that last mile in disciple making to change lives through you. Let us remember that we are those cracked vessels, but may your light be in us, that despite our faults and failures, a lost, hurting world can see your light in us. Father, help the church heal itself through you, to separate itself while in the world, not of it, to realize that we will take some heat, Father, for the world will hate us. The world will despise us, just as Satan has despised you through eternity. So help us to be graceful, merciful, but bold and firm in our message into the world. May we be one in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go secure in our relationship with God through Christ Jesus. May we go secure in our relationship with each other in Christ Jesus. And may we go knowing God's call in our life to be a light into the darkness, to be a beacon of hope to the lost, and to be the church of Christ while here in the world, not of it. May we go by God's grace and in God's mercy to know God's peace and God's joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.